Sermons from St. Andrews is a live recording of the Sunday homilies preached from the pulpit of St. Andrews Reformed Episcopal Church in Appomattox, Virginia. Following the pattern of the Christian year, these sermons are designed to drive us deeper into the life of Christ so that we might both see the glorious work that He has achieved for us and that we might be changed by entering into Christ. These sermons are presented by Father Damien Grout, who serves as rector of St. Andrews.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. I think all of us have had the experience of being in an organization. Maybe it's a place of work, maybe it's a school, maybe it's a church, in which there has not been harmony in leadership, where there has not been unity of purpose. And so maybe the owner of the company has a very clear understanding of the company culture that he or she wants to build. They've got a very clear idea of what it is that their company is to be about, their core commitments and values, the way that they want to work, the way that they want to be and do everything. But perhaps you've been in a company in which the owner puts forward this vision, but then you have, within management, an alternate vision. They don't share the same commitments that the owner has. They don't share the same values. They don't want the same things. They have their own ideas of how things should be. And so rather than carrying out the wishes of the owner in their role as a manager, they try to do their own thing. I think all of us have seen organizations like this, and I think if we've been the employee in one of those situations, we know the kind of stress that this brings and the kind of chaos that throws the whole organization into. And it is just as our Lord says today, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. But this isn't just true within organizations or schools or churches. It's true throughout. It's true in our own families. If mom and dad are set with different goals and have different ideas of how things are going to be, it may not bring chaos, but it gives a great chance. I'm not saying that I was ever guilty of this. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But you find a way as a child to divide and conquer to get your way. There becomes this cleavage in unity that presents an opportunity to sow discord and discontent. But Jesus isn't talking about businesses, although everything he says about no one serving two masters is absolutely applicable to organizations. And he isn't specifically talking about families, although there's a profound application that all of us should be able to see in this reality that no one can serve two masters. You can't have two sets of competing goals or agendas. There can only be one goal if there's truly going to be unity and harmony in leading the family into faithful obedience to Christ. But what Jesus is talking about today is our own lives. Because we, even if it's not coming from work, we as people, the people of God living in this world, there is a profound tension in living as the people of God here in this world, while at the same time not becoming of this world. We live in this world and we see all around us the values that this world esteems. We see what it is that they say is the good life. And this good life that the world portrays before us, we see it every time we go shopping. We see it when we are on the internet. We see it when we turn on the television. We see it everywhere. The vision of the good life that the world offers. And it looks a lot like self-indulgent luxury. It looks a lot like the pursuit of self-indulgent wealth. It looks like all of these pursuit of material things. But we, who are the people of heaven, and I know it's true in my own life, every morning and every evening ends, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on me, in me, as it is in heaven." But yet, many times and most times probably, there is a difference between the will and of God and my will. It's not because I want it that way. It's because I've allowed my own heart and my own mind to be drawn away into all of these things that this world values. The self-indulgence, the gratification of the lust, all of these things are fighting in our own minds. But no man can serve two masters. And I think it's very interesting, two things. The way that Jesus describes how it is that we act when we try to serve two masters. We may give lip service to both, but we're either going to love the one and hate the other, even if we claim allegiance to both, or we're going to hold to the one and despise the other. Now, it's really profound, I think, if you look at the way that these words that Jesus chooses here, because at the outset, it might look like Jesus is just saying the same thing a different way for poetic impact. He's trying to just build it up, love and hate, honor, despise, hold to the one or despise. But that word despise, I think Jesus is saying more than just the same thing in two different ways. I think there is that reaction that we all have if we are trying to serve two masters. We either just grind our teeth under one and joy in the other, or we honor the one and despise. But this word despise, I think sometimes we think of it, and I think in most usages it is this way, that it is this resentment. It is that despising is to look down upon and to think it's just a dirty something that's bad and to be done away with. But despise, the literal meaning, and it's actually the second definition in Webster's dictionary, it is the idea of honoring less. It's the idea of fearing less. Now, the idea of fear, we know as Christians, we are told to fear God, and it doesn't mean that we, when we're walking with God, that we are afraid of him, that we think that he's this mean God who's going to look for an opportunity to blast us. No, but we, walking with God, we learn that healthy fear of God because we know he is the one to whom we will give account. He is the one that every single thing in life refers back to. But when we despise God the way that it's being used here, it's not this active turning away from, it's not this active diminishing of, it's a subtle mental thing in which we simply say, I fear more what the world thinks about me than what I think about what God thinks for me, thinks of me. And I think that's the real reality that most of us live in. We try to serve two masters. We don't really want to, but it's just the reality so often. But it's not that we say we hate God and his holy law, we hate what it is that he has commanded. It's rather, we're more afraid of what the world thinks of us, or what those in this world that we value their opinion, what they think of us, than what we think about what God thinks of us. And so Jesus describes this cleavage, this serving of two masters, in a very unique way. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, if you go to your Bible dictionary, there's a good description of this, because mammon, many times, it's simply this pursuit of worldly goods, that mammon is simply worldly wealth. But I think it's interesting that Jesus in the New Testament only uses this word mammon twice, and he uses other words for worldly wealth and riches all over the place. But here, and in the parable of the unjust steward, he uses the word mammon. And I don't think it's just for effect, because within that ancient Near Eastern world in which our Lord was incarnated, there was, within the pantheon of gods of the ancient Near East, there was a god called Mammon. You see it specifically named in the Syrian deities. And Mammon was the god of wealth and fortune. Mammon was the god of luxury and self-indulgence. And you do see that the church picks this up, because you look at the history of the church and you look, there are the seven princes of hell who correspond to the seven deadly sins. One of the seven princes of hell is Mammon. And so Jesus, when he says you cannot serve God and mammon, I think he does mean to personify this according to an evil would-be God. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve this God who promises the fulfillment of every bodily lust and every desire for luxury and ease, and at the same time, serve God. Because why? Because if you try to do both, you're going to love the one and hate the other. You're going to hold to the one or despise the other. But he shows us a better way. And he says to us, and he says to this multitude gathered before him on the mountainside, he says, you can't serve two masters. But he says, there is one master you can trust. There is one who loves you more than you could possibly love yourself. There is one who cares more about your good and your well-being more than any other deity in this world, more than anything else in this world. And that is our Heavenly Father. Therefore, he says to us, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or what ye shall put on. And how much energy do we spend worrying about perception or self or being able to indulge ourselves? How much of our life do we spend wasting our time seeking after things that cannot save or really make us well, that cannot bring the healing of our souls or bodies? Far too much. But so much of this comes because we do not honor God as God, and we do not recognize the love that he has for us. And so he gives two very powerful examples. And there is the birds of the air first. These birds of the air, they live their life before God. Though they are affected by humanity's sin, they are not sinful, and they live their life day in and day out before the face of God. They simply are. They simply have their being, and in their being, they don't plant. They don't harvest. They don't store their goods away in barns. They don't plan ahead all these years ahead for their future retirement. They simply are. And what do we see about God in this? That our Heavenly Father takes care of them and their every need. But then he reminds us of something that I think sometimes this world has forgotten. We who bear the image of God, we are of far more value than the birds of the air or of any other creature in all of creation, for we uniquely bear the image of God. And then he gives another example. Why are you worried about your fashions, your desires, your styles in this world, this desire for everyone to compliment us? And he gives the example of the lilies of the field, some of the most beautiful flowers. And he makes the point that Solomon, the richest king who ever lived, whose palace, whose royal throne room exceeds anything that we could ever imagine. And yet God says, even Solomon, in all of his kingly array and glory, the beauty of that court scene doesn't even begin to compare to the beauty of the flowers of the field. These flowers of the field, if our eyes are open and we see the glory and goodness of God. For God puts himself into the display of his glory in the beauty of all of these flowers. And they're here today. The sun comes out and they're gone tomorrow. And they're used for cattle feed or for fire for the oven. But if God clothes the fields in this kind of glorious splendor, how much more is he going to clothe us who follow him by faith with his own glory? How much is he going to clothe us who give ourselves to him with his own shining brightness? That's what we need. That's the greater. And so this morning, we feel the tug of all of these good things, or what the world tells us are the good things that we should give our energy to. We want to look this way. We want to be this way. We want to possess these things. We want to have these luxuries. We want to drive this. We want to do that. We want to do all of these things. We feel that pressure. But yet God shows us himself today. And he shows us a glory greater than all of these things. Because did you notice he didn't say that wealth in this world is in any way bad? It's what we pursue with that wealth. He didn't say dressing well is an evil. But he says, what do you spend your energy on? What do you give yourself to? And so we are called, gloriously called, to give ourselves to pursue God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. And by his Spirit, we are brought the healing of our souls. We're made whole and well. We become what we were created to be. May we learn to give up the folly of serving two masters and give our heart and our mind and all of our efforts to pursuing Christ and his glorious kingdom. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Sermons from St. Andrews is a production of Always with Christ Radio. Radio in the Anglican Way.